But just as God is with us in the journeys of our lives, God was with them, giving them hope, preparing the way, even as a prophet had foretold. Scripture, Isaiah 40:3-5. A voice cries out, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken."
We light this candle to proclaim that Christ is the light of the world, to announce that by bringing light into the world, Christ has brought hope, reminding us that good will ultimately triumph over evil, and that by living in the light of Christ, we too can bring hope to the world.
Pray. Oh God, who gave us the light, thank you for giving us hope in the form of a child at Bethlehem. As we prepare to celebrate the birth of this holy child, may we be willing to be your servants, lighting the candle of hope in the darkness of despair. Amen.
You'll please rise and open your bulletins. We will join together in the call to worship based on Mark 13. When is the Master coming?
No one knows the day or the hour.
When must we be ready to receive the Lord of hosts?
Even now, listen and knock on the door.
Keep alert and be ready. Be seated.
Please join me in prayer. Amazing God, light of the world, you breathe peace into our ears and guide us with your love. You push us to see you in each other, to lead with love and light. With you, hope is never lost. You will never leave us alone, and you will never give up. Your understanding and compassion for us does not fade or falter. Again and again, we are forgiven, and we can begin again because there is no penalty for starting over. The game of love and life goes on and on. Dearest God, we ask you to protect our hearts and hold us in your hand as we navigate our way today and this week. We are inundated with images and examples of fear and greed, disrespect and selfishness. We take what we want without a care for each other. We know better, but along the way we forget. We are distracted by desire, by flashy promises and expensive toys or power. We lose track and we put ourselves first. We want to start over. We are ready to be your example and ready to be your hands and your arms for all people. We can be like you, love like you, forgive like you, protect like you, and persist like you. With you, all things are possible. And now I offer you some time to be present in silent prayer and reflection. Would you now please join with me in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Got mechanical problems. I was walking home from school on a cold winter day. Took a shortcut through the woods and somehow lost my way. It was getting late and I was scared and alone. Then a kind old man took my hand and led me home. Mama couldn't see him, but he was standing there, and I knew in my heart he was the answer to my prayer. Oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours to show us how to live and teach us how to give and guide us with the light of love. When life held troubled times and got me down on my knees, there's always been someone to come along and comfort me. A kind word from a stranger, just to lend a helping hand. A phone call from a friend, just to say I understand. Now ain't it kind of funny, but at the dark end of the road, someone lights the way with just a single ray of hope. Oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours to show us how to live, to teach us how to give, to guide us with the light of love. They wear so many faces, show up in the strangest places, grace us with their mercy in our times of need. Oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours to show us how to live, to teach us how to give, to guide us with the light of love, to guide us with the light of love.
Good morning. We are your festive Advent Christmas announcement team, here with all of your good news for December.
Please be sure to pick up your copy of the good news to keep up to date on the events here at church. You can also, as I have reminded you, you can sign up via email through the website. You can see the good news posted there. There's also a weekly e-blast that goes out every Friday.
The 20th annual tree lot is underway, and as you can see, I'm very flummoxed about it. We are only open on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, so that leaves a limited number of days to volunteer. We have a total of 7 days, including today.
Also, it's time to order your poinsettias. The order forms are inside of the good news, which is another great reason to pick up your newsletter. You can give a poinsettia plant in honor or memory of a loved one. And in case you've never seen it before, the plants are fashioned into a beautiful Christmas tree, which adorns the chancel of our church. The flowers may be taken home following the 7:30 p.m. Christmas Eve service. Each poinsettia is $10, and the deadline to order is next week, December 10th.
Norm, let's talk about Christmas Eve, shall we? This year, it is on a Sunday, so please note the schedule for Christmas Eve services. There will be 3 services total. 8:15, casual and cozy worship service in Boyer Chapel. 10:30 a.m., traditional service in the main sanctuary. And then 7:30 p.m., a candlelight service also in the main sanctuary. There will only be 1 evening service this year. Please mark your calendars accordingly.
Adult Sunday School takes place on the last 3 Sundays of the month at 9 a.m. in Boyer Chapel, immediately after our 8:15 a.m. worship. The classes are led by lay speaker Sandra Smith, and if you haven't attended an 8:15 worship yet, we invite you to do that as well.
And now it's time to tune in to the coast for your favorite holiday tunes. 24 hours a day, the songs you won't be able to unhear from now until Christmas. Relentlessly, they will be played. Starting with Sunday, December 10th, we have a number of events going on.
Smooth peanut butter and tuna and chili, brown paper grocery bags tied up with string. These are a few of my favorite things. December 10th is Mission Sunday. Please bring in those items and your donations for the North Hollywood Interfaith Food Pantry.
Also December 10th, it's beginning to look a lot like the UMW Holiday Boutique pop-up shop. Rolls right off the tongue. The pop-up shop will be set up in front of the lounge following worship on the 10th. Be sure to stop by the boutique table and support the UMW. All proceeds go towards mission projects.
Also on Sunday the 10th, have a holly jolly chili cook-off. Hosted by the Tyrees, bring your best chili recipe to the lounge, or you can simply taste test and vote for the best chili during coffee hour. Chili and coffee. Winner takes home a small Christmas tree.
Please note, this coffee hour will also be an all-church potluck, so please bring snacks, treats, and other things to share. And if you would like to sign up to host a coffee fellowship, please contact the church office for openings during the year.
God rest ye merry sandwiches, let nothing you dismay. The project on the 14th is called PB&J. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Keep going.
I daren't. Thursday the 14th, meet in the lounge at 7 p.m. to help make 150 sandwiches for the hungry in our neighborhood.
Monday, December 18th, Tabitha Fellowship. It meets in hand in hand at 10:30 a.m. You'll hear that five times on your drive home. Tabitha Fellowship will be meeting in the hand-in-hand room at 10:30 a.m. to make baby items that will go to Olive View Hospital.
Yeah, I think if you go to Magnolia Grill, you'll hear that in heavy rotation.
I actually did this morning, no joke.
Good Ruth Circle, rejoice! They'll be meeting in the lounge at 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday the 19th.
Sunday, December 24th, did you hear what I heard about Christmas Eve earlier? In case you joined us in progress, I will recap. There will be three services, 8:15 in Boyer Chapel, 10:30 a.m. here in the main sanctuary, and then back here in the main sanctuary at 7:30 p.m. for our Christmas Eve evening worship.
Almost like we should hear that at least one more time during announcements. Right?
That was 8:15 Boyer Chapel, 10:30 a.m. here in the sanctuary, and then last Christmas I gave you my heart at 7:30 p.m. right here for evening worship.
And then we wrap up with what are you doing New Year's Eve, or the Friday before it. Friday, December 29th, we have our end of the year tea fellowship at TLC Cafe in Santa Clarita. Our reservation is at 11:30 a.m., so please meet in the north lot at 11 a.m. to carpool or caravan. Ring in the new year with tea. It's the right thing to do.
And with these songs in our hearts and ears and minds, let us continue with this morning's worship. Thank you.
The word Advent is derived from the Latin word Adventus, meaning arrival or coming. And the promise of Advent is that what is coming is unimaginable and an unimaginable invasion. The mythology of our age has to do with flying saucers and invasions from outer space, and that is unimaginable enough. But what is upon us now is even more so, a close encounter not of the third kind, but of a different kind altogether, an invasion of holiness, and that's what Advent is about. Frederick Buechner, The Clown in the Belfry. It's also a beautiful thing that the season of Advent is also a season of giving, as Jesus demonstrated by his life and his death. True giving, born of love, is costly. So what do we give this Christmas season? We can give grace and encouragement to a loved one or a neighbor. To our church, we can cheerfully and generously give our time, talents, prayers, presents, gifts, service, and witness. This Advent, let's do that. Let us now prepare for the Adventus of our ushers as they wait upon the congregation for this morning's tithes and offerings. God of peace, we join with you in the joy of this season of giving. You gave us a Savior who is Christ the Lord. You give us life and breath. You fill the world with beauty, our hands with bounty, and our hearts with a desire to give. Accept these gifts and ourselves in service always, in every season. Amen. Please be seated. And quickly before the choir sings, Dan has just given me one more announcement that Wednesday is tree delivery at 5:30 p.m. and he needs muscles. Male or female muscles?
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something.
Today I'll be reading from the Gospel according to John, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for testimony, to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness to the light. The true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world knew him not. He came to his own home, and his own people received him not. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
It's a real honor for Barbara and I to be with you this morning and sharing this worship service. Someone asked me earlier this morning when I became the pastor of this church, and it made me think. It was 1970 that I was appointed to this church by Bishop Golden. And I thought 42 years ago when I first came here and shared in this worship service. I was young then. Had brown hair, but it's been a joy to have served this church and now to share in this worship service this morning. And this morning I'd like us to think around the theme, the gift of light. Because at the Advent season, we begin to prepare ourselves for the coming of God and his Son, Jesus Christ. We prepare ourselves for God's gifts to us, the gift of love and of hope and of joy and the gift of light. We're reminded that it was in the wintertime, the darkest time of the year, that God sent his Son into the world to be a light for every one of us, a light to the world. Several years ago, there appeared an article in the LA Times. It told about a family here in one of the suburbs of LA that left their Christmas lights on well past the Christmas season into January and February and March and April and even into May. And the neighbors began to be concerned about this and wondered about it and even became critical of it. But then towards the end of May, they began to understand because there appeared on the lawn of this family a sign that read, "Welcome Home, Jim." And the neighborhood knew that that family had a son by the name of Jim that had served in Afghanistan. And they'd left the lights on for him, that when he came home, he would come home to lights shining brilliantly and brightly. Christmas does come at the darkest time of the year. but it's God's light that brings us that sense of hope and joy. Not just in December, but in January and in February and in March and April and May and all through the year. Now, Nyleen read the scripture lesson this morning from the Gospel of John, that opening passage from the Gospel of John, where the writer of John says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God." And then a few verses later, the writer says, "And that Word became the light, to light up the darkness. And the darkness could not overcome it." That's an awesome statement. That the Word of God, the light of God, came into the world, and that the darkness was not able to overcome it. You see, God's light shines in our lives every single day, all through the year, from January to December. Now, the first thing I would say to you this morning is that we can keep the light going. We can keep the light of God going in our lives on a daily basis. One of my favorite Christmas carols was written by Phillips Brooks, and he wrote it one Christmas Eve as he was sitting just outside the city of Bethlehem, sitting on a hill, looking down at the lights of Bethlehem, and he penned the words, "O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above the dark and sleepless night, the silent stars go by, but yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." Think about those words. "Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." Christmas comes in December, a time of darkness. And sometimes we can even experience that darkness in our personal lives, even maybe more so than other times of the year. We can feel the stress, the tension, the problems, the concerns we may have, the discouragement that may come, the defeats we may experience. In one of the Peanuts cartoons, it shows Linus sitting at a desk and he's working very hard. He's working with some figures. He's trying to figure out the statistics for the end of the year for Charlie Brown's baseball team. And he works at it for a while, and then he stands up and he goes over to where Charlie Brown is and he says, "Charlie Brown, in 12 games, we almost scored a run. In 9 of those games, the other team almost didn't score a run before the first out. In right field, Lucy almost made the right play 3 times. 2 times she almost caught the ball." And he paused for a moment, and then he looks at Charlie Brown and he says, "Charlie Brown, we led the league in almost." Well, isn't it true that there have come those times in our lives that we experience almost? Life doesn't go the way we want it to go. Things don't happen the way we want them to do. Life doesn't become what we had expected it to become. We're faced with challenges. And it's in those moments that the light comes into our lives, that we're reminded that life doesn't stop there, but that God's light comes in and moves us forward. You may recall the great missionary to Africa, David Livingstone. One time he wrote a note back to to England from his post in Africa. And he said, we need people to come down and to help down here, help at the outpost, at my mission. The people in England wrote back and said, we have people, workers who are willing to come, but first they want to know if the roads are good to the outpost. And David Livingstone wrote back and said, if the only reason they're going to come to the outpost is because there are good roads, tell them not to come. Don't send them. We know that oftentimes the road can get bumpy. We know the road can be hard, can be difficult, seemingly impossible. But God reminds us that he wants people what? He wants people who are willing to go down those roads, who are willing to face the challenges that are before them, who are willing to give all that they have. That's what it means to keep God's light going in our lives. To not only meet the challenges, but to be victorious over them. There's a wonderful story that's told of a man down in Athens, Georgia. And he wanted to take the bus up to Greenville, South Carolina. So he went down to the bus depot and he went up to the clerk and he purchased the ticket. And the clerk said to him, I'm sorry, sir, but your bus has been delayed. It'll be a while before you're going to go. So the man began to walk around the depot there and he came upon a machine that said, for $1, I can tell you your name, your age, what town you live in, and some more interesting information about yourself. Well, the man was fascinated by this, so he put a dollar in and out came a card. And it said, your name is Bill Smith, you're 35 years of age, you live in Athens, Georgia, and you're going to take a bus to Greenville, South Carolina. Well, the man thought that was amazing, so he said, I'm going to try this again. So he puts another dollar in, and out comes the card, and the card reads, well, there you are again. You're Bill Smith, you're 35 years of age, you live in Athens, Georgia, and your bus has been delayed to go to Greenville, South Carolina. Now he's beyond fascinated. He had to figure this out. So he went across the street to a toy store, and he bought some horn-rimmed glasses with a mustache underneath it. He bought a wig and a hat, and he bought a cane. He came back, and he was hobbling up to the machine, and he puts the dollar in, and out comes the card. And the card reads, well, it's you again. Your name's Bill Smith. You're 35 years of age. You live in Athens, Georgia. You're taking a bus to Greenville, South Carolina. But what I'm going to tell you is that while you're out horsing around, you missed your bus. Well, there are times in life that we miss the bus. Sometimes we don't even get on the bus. We don't bring our A game. We don't make the commitment. We allow the almost to be in control of our lives. But God reminds us over and over again that we can keep the light going, the light of hope and of love and of light. Now, the second thing I would say to you this morning is that we can keep the light happening in our lives. We can keep it happening in the experiences that we share on a daily basis, but especially we can keep it in our relationships with one another. In a book entitled No Less Than Greatness, it tells the story of a woman who one morning wakes up and goes into the living room and opens the drapes and sees a very large motorhome parked in front of her home. She lived on a narrow street, and She knew that that motorhome was going to be a problem for her getting in and out of her driveway. It's going to be difficult to get around. She stood there looking at that motorhome for a few minutes, and then she thought to herself, well, it's probably the son and daughter-in-law of the wonderful older couple that lives across the street. They came to visit, and they're probably having a great time. I can put up with the inconvenience for a couple of days. And she drove out of the driveway that day. She had to back up and turn around and make several turns before she could get. But she said, oh, I know they're having a great time. And the next day when some of her friends came, they had to park way down the street. It was an inconvenience. But again, she was all right with that. But 2 days later, she discovered that the motorhome did not belong to the son and daughter-in-law of the couple across the street, but to neighbors two doors down that were very ornery. They left their trash cans out. They didn't mow their lawn very often. They never had a kind word to say to people. They yelled at the children and the youth in the neighborhood every time they got near. Well, immediately, the attitude of this woman began to change. No longer did she have those warm, fuzzy feelings, but she began to be irritated. And every time she backed out of the driveway, she would say, isn't it just like those people to put this eyesore in the neighborhood, to not think about other people, to make it so it's difficult for traffic on our street? They never think of anything but themselves. Now, in both cases, she had the ability to control her response. But in the latter one, she chose to let her buttons be pushed, to react. Now, how many times in our lives do we find ourselves allowing our buttons to be pushed? Allowing ourselves to be negative in situations about other people and in our relationships. But you see, the Christian way of living is God's way. It's allowing God to be the one to push our buttons. Allowing God to allow us to be in control of our lives. To be proactive rather than reactive. I love the story of a mother who was preparing pancakes for her two boys, Kevin, who's 5, and Ryan, who's 3. And they love pancakes. And oftentimes, while she was preparing them, they would argue with one another over who was going to be first. But one day, they did more than argue. They began to kind of yell at each other and push each other and shove each other. And finally, the mother said, sit down. Sit down. So they sat down, and she looked down at them. And she said, what do you think Jesus would say if he were here? And the boy said nothing. The mother said, well, I'll tell you what Jesus would say. He would say, I would let my brother go first. I can wait. And 5-year-old Kevin looked at his mother and said, Mother, that's a great idea. And he looked over at his little 3-year-old brother and said, Ryan, you be Jesus. Well, there are so many times in our lives that we don't live up to all that we should live up to. And we know that the gospel is hard. And we know what we could and can do in our lives, but somehow, when it comes to the gospel, we want someone else to do it. We want someone else to take our place. It's hard to walk the walk, isn't it? Oh, yeah, we can talk the talk all the time. But the Christian faith requires us to what? Walk the walk. Walk the walk. Mother, one time, was talking with her daughter. Daughter was grown. They were kind of talking over things that had happened in their life. And at one point, the mother said to the daughter, "You know, when you were younger, I often noticed that you would pause at a certain time and just close your eyes for a few seconds, and then you'd open your eyes and go on." And she said, I remember one time when you were 8 years old and in the third grade, and it was morning and you were getting ready for school, and I came to the door of the room and you were there and you closed your eyes for a few seconds. And then you opened your eyes and you just continued on. What was that about? And the daughter said, "Well, I really don't remember when I started doing that. But what I do is that particular day, I can remember I was having a bad day. It was a difficult time, and I didn't know what to do, so I closed my eyes. And then when I looked up, I said to myself, I'm going to restart my day." And she said, "Sometimes I have to do it 2 or 3 times a day now. But I can close my eyes for a few seconds and regenerate myself and open my eyes and restart." Now, how many times this past week could that have applied to us, that we were going through something, doing something, finding a difficult time in something, and we could have paused, closed our eyes, allowed God's Spirit to come within our lives, open our eyes, and restart our lives? That's what it means to let the light happen in your life. That's what it means to carry the light into the darkness and not let the darkness overcome it. I close with this. Jim Tressel was the coach of Ohio State University football team for a number of years, or as those who have attended Ohio State University say, the Ohio State University. And he wrote a book about the program of football there at Ohio State University. And in the book, he tells about the time that a recruit would come to Ohio State University and to look at the university, thinking that they might become a part of the football program there. And he says the recruit comes to the front door of the athletic building there on the campus. And they walk in that door, and immediately they see a hallway that's 120 yards long, the length of a football field plus both end zones. And on either side of that hallway are trophy cases, trophies of national championships and trophies of Big Ten championships, pictures of the great players that have played at Ohio State University, and the coaches that have coached there. And as a recruit walks down that hallway, their thought isn't, "I can't do this. This is more than I can handle. I can't accomplish playing football here." No, their thought is, "I want to be part of this program. I want to make it part of my life. I want this kind of excellence in my life." And then the player comes to the end of the hallway, and there's a stained glass window above a door. And you open that door, and you walk into the Ohio State University Stadium, that magnificent stadium. And Jim Tressel says that's where the athletes are sold, that they want to be part of that. They want to make it a part their history. My friends, as this next week we walk down the hallways of our homes or the streets of our neighborhood or walk down the hallways of this church, our thoughts shouldn't be, I can't do this, it's too hard, there's too much in front of me, my plate's full. But our thoughts should be, I want to be part of this. I want to be part of this greatness. I want to be part of this excellence. I want to be part of God's light in my life that shines to every single person that I meet today. And not just in December, but in January through December. Amen. Let us continue now as we prepare ourselves to receive the sacrament of Holy Communion. Have you turn in your hymnals to the front of the hymnal to page 9 and 10. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, O Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image. You breathed us into us the breath of life. When we have turned away and our love failed you, your love remains steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, Hosanna in the earth, full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from the slavery from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you and broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them to be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to the world, until Christ shall comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.